want to just talk about suffering for a little bit tonight. Fun subject. Everybody likes to suffer, right? You know, if I asked anybody, okay, is everybody here want some suffering this week? I really don't think anybody would volunteer.
No.
I think everybody would kind of feel, well, I think I'll pass on that one. But the reality is suffering is part of life, isn't it? None of us are exempt from it. All of us experience suffering in different ways. Sometimes we suffer just physical suffering. Sometimes we suffer mental anguish. Sometimes spiritual anguish. A lot of suffering. There's a lot of suffering in the world. And I want to just give a little perspective on suffering from the Bible, just a couple of verses to think about, because we all have faced it. Some of us are facing degrees of suffering in our life right now. Nobody's ever totally exempt from it while we're in this world, and we will experience suffering until we get home. That's just the way it is. So let's look at a couple of perspectives on suffering and see, you know, why is suffering something that we experience and what happens with it? Well, can you give me a broad answer as to why there's any suffering at all in the world?
Disobedience in the garden.
I'm sorry?
Disobedience.
Okay.
And
if sin had never happened, suffering would never be part of this world. But somewhere back in the beginning with Adam and Eve, they decided they didn't need God. They decided they'd get along just fine without him. Thank you very much. The devil had a better idea, and they listened to the devil and went the devil's way. And they took the human race with them. And as a result of that, suffering has come in the world. Now, sometimes people have the idea that, well, if I'm suffering, it's the whole idea of quote-unquote karma. Everybody familiar with karma? The idea of karma is that whatever you do, that you're going to have to pay for it. You might have to pay for it in 10 lifetimes. You might come back as a bug or something. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does say you will reap what you sow. So in that one respect, that's true. But sometimes the suffering of a small child is not the child's fault at all. The suffering of, if I'm walking down the road and Leonard comes along and he's roary-eyed drunk and he runs me over and I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And he runs me over, it's not my fault that I got run over, is it?
No.
Whose fault is it? Leonard's fault. I often pick on him. But anyway, it would be his fault because he was the guy that was roary-eyed drunk and driving, right? But so suffering is complicated in that respect that we can't trace all the ins and outs as to why a particular suffering happens to a person. And why, you know, somebody is afflicted with a disease, and why do babies die, and why is there, you know, all these other things that happen in this world. There's a general answer for it all. We're living in a fallen and broken world, and as a result of that, there's going to be suffering. That's a general answer. And so there are consequences to sin, and there are consequences to the greed that goes on. And when, you know, people know better, when tobacco companies just keep on pumping out the cigarettes and adding the ingredients to it to get people more and more addicted, and you know, there are consequences to all of these kinds of things, and people end up suffering. And there are lots of diseases in the world that wouldn't be there, even because by the actions of what we have done. But that's not really what I want to speak about, because the truth of the matter is that suffering comes to you. That's the truth of the matter. Suffering has come and will come to you in your life. You're going to experience trials, and some of them are going to be easy trials. They're going to be tough ones that come your way. The question then is what do I do with the trials that come into my life? How do I cope with those trials? And so I'm going to look at a number of verses as we go through some scriptures here. And we look at tribulations and trials. I'm going to start with a verse in Romans. I'm going to go to James. I'm going to look at a number of verses. But in Romans chapter 5, it says, verse 1 says, we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Romans 5 begins to talk about the wonderful blessing that we have if we're trusting in God. You know, even though there's suffering in this world, there's blessing too. And we can't ignore the blessing just because they're suffering. The cup may be half empty at times, but the cup, if it's half empty, it's what also?
Half full.
It's half full too. So we must look at the blessing too. And here he speaks about the blessings. We have access by faith into the grace that we're standing in, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Great blessings we see in Romans 5, 1 and 2. But then it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Now that's trials, right? Which is produces suffering, right? He says, we glory in the Lord. We glory in what we have in God, but we also are going to glory in our tribulations. And here's why. Here's the reason why we can glory in our tribulations. Because tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So here we have an answer to sometimes tribulations and trials. They can be turned to a good thing in your life. The good thing is that it produces a perseverance, a patience, and it produces character in your life. I've been amazed over the years as I've come across families that have experienced more than their share. Sometimes a family that has like a severely mentally challenged child. And in spending some time with those parents, or just interacting with them, I've often noticed a deep gentleness and just a caring, tender heart there. And they've gone through the mill in a sense, but they've learned to be loving and compassion and filled with love, even for people who can't respond back, even to those who can't give them love back. They've learned to love in difficult situations. So trials and tribulations and suffering can produce some deep, wonderful things in the character of people. And this is what is getting at here. What does it do? It produces character in people's lives. It produces change in our lives. Suffering can produce character. Now, in some people's lives, suffering can produce what?
Strength.
Strength, okay. Bitterness. Yeah, sometimes people become bitter.
Anger.
Yeah. So there are choices that we can make in suffering, right? And it can produce a strength in our experience so that we can stand in the hard days. We can make it through the deep trials. But sometimes people react in a wrong way. But by the grace of God, God can turn suffering into something good. We have that promise, which I'm sure you've heard many times, or maybe you haven't, but in Romans chapter 8, look at the promise in verse 28 that bears, even if it has been repeated many times, it says something wonderful right there in Romans 8, 28. It says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now notice that the verse says, we know that some things work together for good. Is that what it says?
All things.
It doesn't say, we know that happy days work together for good.
No. It doesn't say that?
No. No, it says all things. Does that include suffering?
Yes.
Does it include deep trials?
Yes.
It does. I can look back in my life and I can say as a Christian, where I've grown the most, where I've become the strongest in one sense as a Christian, is where I've suffered, is where I've gone through deep trials. And so, but nobody likes being in them, do they?
No, nobody
enjoys the trial where we are going through it. But God is more interested in your character than he is in you just being happy, happy, happy all the time. I mean, if the whole purpose of life was just for you to feel good, to have a nice euphoric feeling all the time, well, there's lots of drugs around that can produce that. There's plenty of them. But it won't last, number one. And the other thing is that it's not really, God's not just interested in us being frivolously happy all the time. He's interested in our holiness. He's interested in your character becoming more and more like the character of Jesus Christ. And so, trials work for the good to those who love God. And that's what we see in this passage. Even hard things, everything works for the good to those who love God. Look in James chapter 1 in verse 2. He says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into many, many trials or various trials. When's the last time you counted it great joy when you were going through a trial? That doesn't seem to make sense, does it? That's like, okay, God, you're going to have to make that one happen because that's not normally what I would do. You know, as soon as something goes wrong, you know, it's just not typical of us to say, oh, it's wonderful. Things are going wrong, right? You know, when's the last time you said that or heard that? Not very often. And yet there's this crazy Bible says this, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, why could he say that? How could that be said with any sincerity? Is he joking?
No.
Here, but he gives a reason why you can count it joy. Now, I want you to understand, it doesn't mean that you're enjoying the trial, okay?
No.
I mean, why would you enjoy the trial? Are you a masochist or what? Are you a pain lover that you just enjoy trials? No, that's not what it means. But it means that you can find joy in the midst of a trial. Here's why. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, so you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. And so here we discover again that God says, okay, look, I am showing you that trials can produce something good in your life. Let it go in that direction. And here's what he says, count it joy. Oh, that we could learn that God is allowing this trial right now in my life and that there's a purpose in it. Lord, let my patience grow. Now, two things can happen concerning patience. One, we get more and more impatient in the middle of the trial. Has that ever happened to you? More often than not. More and more disgusted. If only this trial was gone, I'd be a happy person. Right? Or we can say, Lord, there is a joy in this trial. Let me find it. Let me discover it. Let me live in it. Take me through it. Give me patience, Lord, to trust you in the middle of this trial. And we can discover that patience will have its perfect work, and then you will be complete and entire, and you won't be lacking anything in your experience. This is what God promises us. But it's through the way of suffering, it's through the way of trials, that he allows those things to happen in our experience. 1 Peter 3:14 says this, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. He says, you're a blessed person if you suffer for righteousness' sake. When you look at some other verses, I'm going to give you a couple more here. Let's look in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Here's the apostles. And the apostles had been praising God. I believe it was Peter and John, was it not? And he takes they were brought before the leaders in Israel because they were preaching in the name of Jesus. Actually, they bet them all. It says they agreed with them, and when they called for the apostles and they had beaten them, okay? They beat them, okay? So these men were being beaten, and then they let them go. They commanded them they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. But they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Imagine, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And so they saw the value of suffering. Look at, now this doesn't mean you go out and say, you know, I'll go down the street and see if I can find somebody to beat me, because I'll get something good out of it. I don't recommend that, okay? That's not what it is. This isn't taking a whip and beating yourself. Listen, there'll be enough suffering. There'll be enough trials come your way without creating them deliberately. Know that God will work them for good, but certainly we're not meant to go about in looking for it in that sense. But if it comes, we can count it joy because God is at work. Let's look at another example of suffering and seeing what happened in the book of Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul and a man named Silas were taken. You see, Acts 16:19, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And after they had brought them, they judged them. I'm not going to read it all here. The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, so they were beaten with sticks. And when they had beaten them with many blows, they threw them into prison. They commanded the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison, which I'm sure was not the most nicest place in town, and then fastened their feet in the stocks. So here's Paul and Silas, who have been beaten with sticks, locked in the inmost prison, locked with stocks, is those, you know, how you see them, get them manacles around their feet. They're locked in. So what's Paul and Silas doing? Are they complaining?
No, praying and singing.
At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Imagine. And the prisoners were listening to them. They must have been surprised that these men who had been beaten in such a way were singing praises to God. You know, afterwards there was an earthquake. They were delivered from such an affliction, but we're not going to take time to look at all of that story. And Jesus gives this instruction in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, which I think you were saying you were reading today. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, that is, where Jesus is saying, blessed are those, here's what he says. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. So he says there's blessing in trial. And in these cases, these particular trials, there's blessing for suffering for the name of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the gospel. And many have down through the centuries. If you ever get a chance to read a book, I got a copy for Vince. He was saying he was looking for a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs. And if you read that the stories of how people suffered for the name of Jesus, it's incredible. And yet God will look after his own. And God will bless his own. There are people who are out there preaching a gospel that says if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have lots of money and you're going to have good health and you're not going to have any trouble in your life. Don't listen to them. They're liars. Mm-hmm. It's not true. If that's true, then I'll have to start ripping page after page out of my Bible and throwing it away. Yes, there's joy, but often there's joy in the midst of sorrow and suffering. And we can see it in Philippians 1:29. This is what the Word of God says. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. In other words, Paul was suffering in prison. He was writing this from jail, this letter that he had been going through. And in 1 Thessalonians 3:4, he says, for in fact we told you before when we were with you, you would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. So they were going through the mill. They were experiencing tribulation. 1 Peter 3:14, I think I already did that one with you. And then in Romans 8:17, here's what it says. If you're children, then you're heirs of God. You're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If you're children of God, then you're going to receive all that God has to give you. But you know what comes with that? If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. See, you know that one of the titles of Jesus in the book of Hebrews is that he was a man of sorrows. And actually in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. We know that Jesus suffered. We know that he suffered in the garden as he prayed to his Father. We know that, as Robin already shared, that he suffered on that cross. But he suffered for our sins. But he also has told us that we also will suffer. But you're not suffering for sins, okay? There are people have this erroneous belief that, okay, if I get suffer enough, then my sins will be paid for. No, we do not suffer to pay for sins. Only one man could suffer for your sins. If you could suffer to pay for your sins, Jesus would never have gone to the cross. He would have said, I don't need to go to the cross for that person because they can suffer for their own sins. But we couldn't suffer for our sins. The suffering that we experience in this world is the consequences of sin, not the judgment for sin. Consequences is different than judgment. Consequences is the result of something happening. Judgment is clear, direct punishment for what's been done wrong. And Jesus took the clear punishment for what's been done wrong in your life and mine. So you can't suffer to pay for your sins. Jesus suffered for sins once for all. Thank God for that one. Because you might be saying, well, I don't know if I've quite suffered enough. Or maybe I'm going to have to roast and toast for a while before I can get to heaven because I've committed a lot of sins in my day. Right? Well, I want you to know that if the suffering of Jesus wasn't enough for your sins, there's no other suffering that could ever be enough. But when Christ died for your sins, he suffered every bit that needed to be suffered for the sins of how many? The world. That's what the Bible says. He died for the sins of the whole world. So his suffering was enough for you. If it was enough for the whole world, no matter how rotten a sinner you have been, it was enough for you. And it was completely enough to pay for every sin that has ever been committed by you and ever will be committed by you. He died for our sins. So that's a different suffering. And that was a complete suffering. That's why he cried on the cross, it is finished, which means just this, it's paid in full, it's done. And praise the Lord that a man or woman or a child can come to Jesus Christ and accept the gift of God, the forgiveness of all of their sins because Christ suffered for them, because he paid for our sins. But it does not exempt us from the suffering that goes on in this world. It doesn't exempt us from trials. You know, the Bible says God causes the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. If it's thunder and rain out there, I don't say, well, you know, some guy here is living a really bad life and I might be living a better life or I'm trusting in the Lord. We both walk outside together. And of course, when I walk outside, there's a holy umbrella comes over me and I don't get wet. But that guy there, he gets soaked. Is that the way it works?
No.
I guess not. The rain falls on me just as it falls on them. Trouble will come my way just like it comes their way. I'm not exempt from troubles and I'm not exempt from trials. But here's the difference. In the midst of my trouble and trial, I'm not alone. I have Jesus. In the midst of my trouble and trial, he's holding my hand. Psalm 23 says, yes, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Even the darkest valleys, I have God with me. I have Jesus with me. So that's the difference. It's not that I'm going to suffer less than an unbeliever. I might suffer more than an unbeliever. Sometimes people who live wicked lives, they seem to get away with everything. In the Old Testament, David complained about that to God. He said, I looked around and I saw the wicked prospering like a green bay tree. He said, it's just like they're flourishing. Everything goes their way. They're wicked, they steal, they cheat, they do everything, and they don't seem to have any trouble at all. And he was envious of them. But then he says, until I saw that their feet were set in slippery places. He discovered what the end of all of that was. So sometimes we may suffer more than somebody else who lives in a very ungodly life. But don't weigh the life by those things. Accept the situations that God has given to you in your life, difficult as they are at times. And instead of being a constant complainer, be someone who puts your hand in the hand of God and says, Lord, I know you've given me this trial. I accept it from your hand, and I ask you to teach me patience through it. I ask you to change my character, lest you become bitter and hard and miss the blessings, the real blessings of God. So suffering's part of this world. It's clear as we go through the scriptures, as we see these passages, that definitely we will see people going through suffering. Now, the Apostle Paul was experiencing a trial in his life. And indeed, you know what Paul said? He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Imagine. Because he said, because if you read the list of what Paul went through, and I think I've got a list here for you. Is it in this passage?
It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
It's 6, right, okay. Yeah. He also gives a list, I believe, in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3 as well. Or Philippians chapter 3. Here's what Paul says. He has been in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, that is, lashes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Those are some of the hard things that he had gone through. By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. There's all the blessings that were coming in spite of the suffering, right? And having received evil reports and as unknown and yet well, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed. These are all some of the things that they have gone through there. Now I'm going to go to Philippians. That's the one that I wanted to go to as well.
But verse 10, it says, our hearts ache, but we have constant joy.
Yeah, I'll go back to it there. Yeah, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. So there's sorrowing and rejoicing in the same verse, right? As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Of course, all things that really matter. Here's what he says. Are they ministers of Christ? These were false teachers that come along. Paul says, listen, I'm going to speak as a fool. I'm more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often, from the Jews 5 times I receive 40 stripes minus one. Can you imagine? 40 stripes, 40 lashes, 5 times. This is the Apostle Paul. 3 times I was beaten with rods, with sticks. One of them we read about there when he was in the jail, right? Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, and a night and a day I've been in the deep, that is, in the ocean, a night and a day, almost drowning. In journeys often, in dangers of water perils, in dangers of robbers, in danger of my countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brothers, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides everything else, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Wow. I just want to say, I haven't suffered like Paul has. And I'm not asking to, okay? But we can find that it produces character. It produces character in your life. So let me encourage you. What troubles you come into your experience? Some of them you bring upon yourself, but God can still turn them for the good. And a lot of us have, you know, beaten our own selves around. We kicked our own selves around the block more than anybody else has. And some troubles are going to come because others are going to put them upon you. Some troubles are going to come because God allows it to happen. Some troubles are going to come because the devil's going to get after you. Look what else happens to the Apostle Paul in this next chapter, in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. And here's the Apostle Paul going through a trial. And then he says why that trial came. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. Paul's saying, lest I get proud. Keep me humble. This is what he says. There was a thorn in the flesh given to me. Now, we don't know exactly what this was. But he uses the term, a thorn in the flesh. And we know that for the Apostle Paul, in the book of Galatians, we discover something about Paul, that he had bad eyes. Mm-hmm. And he had eyes so bad that he only signed a couple of the letters that he wrote. And he did it with large writing because his eyes were that bad. And at one point he said, if you could have, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given to me. But here's a guy who's going around doing miracles and healing people, but he couldn't heal himself. That's kind of humbling, isn't it? You know, it'd be humbling. Say, well, hey, doctor, heal yourself before you try to heal anybody else, right? And yes, God used him miraculously, but it didn't mean that everything went la-di-da for him. Because here's what he says about the thorn in the flesh. He said, there was a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, so I would not be exalted above measure. So what did Paul do about that? Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So did Paul want that?
No.
Did he ask God about it? Yes, and it's okay to ask God. It's okay to ask God, Lord, will you relieve this suffering? Will you take this from my life? Sometimes he will, and sometimes he won't. But in this case, it says, here's the answer that he got from God. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in
weakness.
Therefore, so this is, God's answer was clear. He says, listen, you need to experience my strength. But in order to experience my strength, I'm going to have to leave you weak in this one. You're going to have to keep this. So sometimes that may happen in your life and in my life too. And we can ask the Lord. We can bring those matters to God. Paul did. 3 times he brought it to God. But he got an answer from God. And the answer was, no, Paul, you're not going to get healing in this matter. So here's Paul's answer to that. Does he shake his fist at God?
No.
Does he say, not fair, God? You should be doing what I'm asking you to do. You're supposed to answer prayer. How come you're not making this all better for me? Here's what he said. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that's in my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Boy, he must have been talking to James when James said, count it all joy. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Yes, God wants strong Christians, but he often uses suffering in the process. Let him use it. He uses trials. He uses things that we would never even dream. How often have you said, oh man, why did this happen to me? And, you know, like poor Alan the other day. Oh, why did this happen to me?
I never said that.
Huh?
No, he said, God is good.
He did. He did. I know. Yes, and he did. I was in the outpatients with him, and oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He cut off 2 of his fingers, George, with a skill saw like the other Sunday. Last week. Last week. Friday it was, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, here's a guy who's only been a Christian for a year and a half.
Yep.
That's all. Yep. Just a year and a half a Christian, but he was praising God in the midst of a trial. Oh, that's something to learn.
He reads that Bible. He really reads the Bible.
Yeah.
And he absorbs it.
Yeah.
And he's full of faith. And, you know, he gets his encouragement.
Absolutely.
From the Bible, through the word of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then he's so happy when, you know, we're around him too, because he, you know, God works through everybody. So
yeah.
Every one of us.
Absolutely.
But I mean, there is a lot to reading that Bible. I mean, you can.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Go to church and never read the Bible. You go a lot closer to God reading that book.
Yep. If we respond in a good way, and I just want to encourage you. Maybe you're going through some trials right now. Maybe there's some suffering in your life. Bring it to the Lord. Present it to God. Pray it through. He might deliver you from that trial. He might not. But either way, God will bring something good out of it in your experience as you trust in him. So, that's my little word for you tonight.